Arrival to Truth, program number 685. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ, South 5th and Highland in Abilene, Texas, assisted by sister congregations and interested individuals, now brings you a Herald of Truth.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
A man's conviction of his sinful state is the work of the Holy Spirit through God's blessed Word, according to John 16 and verse 8. And the Word of God is His power unto salvation. Christian evangelists are required of the Lord to preach His Word so as to bring about conviction in the hearts of men. But it is one thing for a man to be convinced of his guilt. It is quite another for him to have the strength of his convictions. Today, George W. Bailey tells the story of Felix, the man who trembled before the fiery words of the Apostle Paul, yet lacked the strength of his convictions. Righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, these were the divisions of the Apostle's sermon. In a moment, Mr. Bailey will speak on the subject, Felix Trembled. And now, here is Mr. Bailey speaking on the subject, Felix Trembled.
Thank you, Bob. In the 24th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, we have this account. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The Lord had told Paul that he was to be his chosen vessel, that he was to bear his name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. He said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Acts 9:15 and 16. Paul did become that chosen vessel, and he served well in that capacity. He courageously bore the Lord's name before the Gentiles and kings, and he suffered great things for the Lord's name. He never faltered nor tried to sidestep the task that was his. Time was when the brethren begged Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul's life had there been threatened. Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, the brethren ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Acts 21:12-14. It must have been the Lord's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem. When Paul arrived in the city, the brethren received him gladly. While there, he reported to them what things the Lord had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. He later entered the temple. But when the Jews, which were of Asia, saw Paul in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. All the city was moved. The people ran together, they took Paul, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. As they were about to kill Paul, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, and all Jerusalem was in an uproar. The chief captain took soldiers and centurions and went immediately to see what the uproar was all about. He took Paul, bound him with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. Some cried one thing and some cried another. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Paul was permitted to make his defense. Being a Roman citizen, Paul was then brought before the council, and then he was sent to Caesarea, the seat of the Roman government, there to appear before Felix the governor. After Paul had again pleaded his cause, Felix deferred judgment until Lysias, the chief captain, came. In the meantime, Paul was granted some liberty, and he was permitted to visit with those who came to see him. Felix asked to hear Paul concerning the faith in Christ. Let's consider who this man Felix was. His name was a byword. He was one of the most unscrupulous of all men. Here is what someone has said about him. With every kind of cruelty and lust, he exercised the authority of a king with the temper of a slave. Felix had been a slave. But through the influence of his brother, who was a favorite of Nero, he was freed and appointed governor. He was the first slave to become the governor of a Roman province. Felix had been married to three princesses, one after another. The name of the first is unknown. The second was a granddaughter of Cleopatra. The third was Drusilla, the wife of Herod Agrippa. Drusilla was married to a king, but through sorcery, she was induced to abandon her husband and become the wife of Felix. In other words, she was living in open adultery. Felix was one of the worst of men. He hired thugs to murder his closest supporters. Think of your fate resting in the hands of a man like that. It was this man who asked Paul to speak to him and his wife concerning the faith in Christ. What an unusual opportunity. How it must have thrilled Paul to have been asked to speak of his faith in Christ. This was not the defense he was to make before the court of the Roman governor, but this was to be a private talk with the governor and his wife. What would he say? Would he speak in generalities, or would he address himself to the needs of these two people? You can rest assured that Paul always took advantage of every opportunity, and this was no exception. He drove home a lesson that was so vitally needed. Notice how Paul reasoned with Felix and Drusilla. The Bible says he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. What three more appropriate things could Paul have talked about? Felix and Drusilla were most unrighteous, and how timely this lesson on righteousness. They had lost their self-control, and how they needed a lesson on temperance. They were by no means ready for the judgment to come, and oh, how they needed to be made aware of what awaited those who were not ready for that coming day. What could be said about righteousness? Righteousness is conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. The scripture says, "He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous," 1 John 3:7. On the other hand, we are told, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God," 1 John 3:10. To be made righteous, one must, in purpose, thought, and action, conform to the divine will. Those who do not so conform are not of God. All unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5:17. Felix and Drusilla were unrighteous. They did not conform to the divine will. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness," Romans 1:18. These two people Paul addressed were therefore under the mighty wrath of God. Paul was keenly interested in their souls. He wanted them to know how they stood before the Lord. As he said in another place, "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God," 1 Corinthians 6:9. In their present state, Felix and Drusilla could by no means inherit the kingdom of God. It was Paul's earnest desire and plea that they change that situation and thus fall heir to the kingdom of heaven. But what could be said about temperance? Paul not only discussed righteousness with these two people, but he also reasoned about temperance or self-control. As has already been mentioned, Felix was living with his third wife, and this was an out-and-out adulterous union. He seems to have become a slave to his passions. Fleshly appetites had become the master, and he had become a puppet to carnal desires. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:5-8. Felix and Drusilla were minding the things of the flesh. They were carnally minded. This meant spiritual death. Because of their carnality, they were enemies of God. Unless they changed, they couldn't please God. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25:28. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. To rule one's own spirit, man needs God's help. Self-control is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. It is one of the Christian virtues, 2 Peter 1:6. Heaven urges us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, Romans 13:14. To the Galatians, Paul said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Galatians 5:16. Felix and Drusilla needed such a lesson on self-control. But what could be said about the judgment to come? Paul not only reasoned with this couple of righteousness and self-control, but he also reasoned with them about the judgment to come. If they were aware of the coming judgment, they showed no evidence of it in the way they lived. Let all men everywhere rest assured that that judgment day will come. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, "Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, "The Lord shall judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:26-31. The Scripture says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" 1 Peter 4:17-18. A judgment day is coming, and woe be unto those who are not ready for it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God, Romans 14:10-12. Concerning certain evil practices, Paul wrote, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Romans 2, 2 and 3. For those who are not ready, it will be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, 31. Felix and Drusilla were not ready, and hence Paul spoke to them about the coming judgment with the aim of trying to get them to become aware of their unpreparedness and with the desire that they would turn to God. No wonder Felix trembled. For a man who was unrighteous, who had no self-control, and who was by no means ready for the judgment day, how Paul's straightforward and pointed discussion must have pricked his conscience. How uneasy, restless, disturbed, horrified he must have become. So much is implied in the two-word description of Felix's reaction to Paul's message. Felix trembled. How uncomfortable and miserable he was. He had a right to tremble. In an effort to ease the situation, he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Instead of facing up to the truth that had been presented to him and acknowledging his wrongs and turning to the Lord, he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." "Not now, Paul," he said. "When I have a more convenient season, then I will call for thee." Would it ever be convenient for Felix? Would it ever be convenient for him to give up the wife with whom he was now living in adultery? Would it ever be convenient for him to cease from lust and gain self-control, turn from his wicked ways, and surrender unto the Lord? Would it ever be convenient, I say, for him to make such a drastic change? No, for the devil will see to it that such a convenient season never comes. Beloved, it isn't a matter of convenience. It's a matter of conviction. Paul did accomplish something in causing Felix to tremble. Here was a man whose heart had become hardened through sin and calloused through disobedience and rebellion. Nevertheless, he was shaken by the mighty power of God's word. No doubt it was the judgment of which Paul spoke that brought fear to his heart and left him trembling. There is something in the Word of God that will cause a man to tremble if he will but stop long enough to listen. The Bible speaks not only of the goodness of God, but also of the severity of God. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off." Romans 11, 22. Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men," 2 Corinthians 5, 11. Today we must make men aware not only of God's thrilling promises, but also of his threatening punishments. As the psalmist declared, "Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" Psalms 76 and 7. Or, "The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof." Job 26, 11. One of the prophets of old uttered these words, "At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." Jeremiah 10, 10. But such warnings were not limited to the Old Testament. In the New Testament we find this warning, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9. No wonder Felix trembled. You and I too will tremble when we are made aware of all that shall befall those who are not ready to meet the Lord. Are you ready to meet him? If not, don't wait for some convenient season as did Felix, but come to put your trust in him. Repent of your sins. Confess him before men and immediately arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And then, "Be thou faithful unto death, and the Lord will give you the crown of righteousness.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I
A copy of George W. Bailey's significant message has been reserved for you and will be sent on request. Just send a card or letter and ask for program number 685. Be sure to specify program number 685. And when you write, why not enroll in a Bible correspondence course? It's free. A Bible course will add much to your store of Bible knowledge. Write today for program number 685 and for a free Bible correspondence course. As always, your Bible-related questions will receive immediate personal attention. Please address all correspondence to Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. That's Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. This has been A Herald of Truth, presented under the direction of Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas, and supported by Churches of Christ and interested individuals from around the world. This is Robert Holton, inviting you to listen next week for another great gospel message. At that time, George W. Bailey will speak on the subject, New Testament Christianity, God's Ecumenical Movement.